The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Just a couple of things. Hopefully all of you have a sort of skin-colored fall recruitment guide. If you did not make one of our programs earlier this week about preparing for your second year job search, we have those handouts as well. All this information will be uploaded on your document library on the campus recruiter, and that's found under the resumes and documents tab on the system. So I hope you all are accessing that information because we do try to share our handouts from different programs up there so you can access them after the program. Point of opportunity attended our internship session last search session. I think it's okay. You sort of mentioned the fact that fall recruitment is the first thing that you will see. It starts in the summer, but will be very visible when you come back to school in the fall. We have employers that will be checking off campus internships starting the week of August 14th, which is the week before classes start. And the reason why we do a separate session for fall recruitment is that it really does involve specific types of employers. And those employers primarily are larger law firms. And they can be firms that have, you know, two or three offices, but a total of 100 plus attorneys, or they can be international law firms. That being said, though, we do have employers such as the government. A lot of government agencies will sustain fall recruitment typically in the September and October timeframe for the program. We have some public interest organizations that typically come on campus, and we also have some traditional positions that become available and they can be on campus as well. So even though a lot of employers are larger law firms, I would say that you really should just take a look overall of the employers that are coming to the campus, maybe some other interests that are not. So looking at this packet, the first thing is just an introduction to our fall recruitment program. There are essentially four components to the fall recruitment program. One that I just alluded to is the on-campus interview process. And that's when employers will pre-select students with who they'd like to meet on campus. Typically there's a screening interview, the 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes a week. And they have a day and they come on campus and interview our students. The second way that employers can sustain the program is through resume selection. And that essentially means that the employer is very interested in receiving information from our students, but they want OCS to sort of administer that process. So basically, we would collect all of the students' information, and we forward that in one package, either electronically or physically, to the employer during the interview. I can't overemphasize the fact that those are real opportunities. Just because an employer is not interviewing on campus doesn't mean that resume selection and direct application opportunities aren't real. The recruitment reporting coordinators review all the information that they need to do during their response process. So even if they don't typically go to one particular school, they will still review the information to students from that school as a company recruiter. So I can't overemphasize the importance of that a personal purpose. Direct application suggests what it is, which is we'll post the information to the employer, there'll be a deadline, and students will have to submit materials directly to the employer based on the deadline date. And then the posting will be the information that you'll have to send the resume, the cover letter, perhaps the length of the application. And then the fourth way is regional interview programs. We do have four regional interview programs, one in Atlanta, one in New York, one in Boston, and one on the West Coast. All of this with the exception of the New York program, which is other states, one of the other schools. And that is just to encourage employers and their students to take advantage of the name of our students when it's convenient to do so in their geographic region as opposed to coming on campus in the fall. And you should feel free to jump in with any questions in the next page is just a big picture about fall recruitment, just that you can put into perspective how this recruitment program plays into how our graduates actually get their opportunities. For example, we have the class of 2004 here that's sort of new, and as you can see, you know, roughly less than one-fourth of those graduates actually receive their positions through the recruitment program. That's not to minimize the importance of recruitment programs, but only to put into perspective that there are many other avenues to unify positions. We find each year that students just get so upset if they weren't able to get a summer position through the fall recruitment program. And part of that, again, is because the program is so visible that everyone thinks, well, if my colleague is doing it, I need to be doing it too. But we suggest that you really take a look at your own personal career goals, if a large firm or any of the other employers that interest you are of interest to you, then of course, you take a look at the fall recruitment program, you submit your information, and you would go through the process. But perhaps you're really focused on a, you know, small firm in Missouri. I mean, fall recruitment may not be the avenue for you to try to get that type of employment. And that's why we do have this other program overall picture about the recruiting cycles of some of these firms. Keep in mind that in far recruitment, especially for firms, they're actually recruiting 2 years in advance. So really what that means is they'll come on campus in the fall, they'll interview you, extend an offer, you'll work the summer of 2007, hopefully get a postgraduate offer to start in 2008. So they're able to really project their needs that far in advance. Small and mid-sized firms, some government agencies, they're just not able to do that. So just to keep it for yourself, and that's why this process starts to work.
Everyone might know the answer, but I don't for this question. But if you're going to have to go through the JDMA program and have the extra semester, do you then participate in the same manner as all the other students?
It's a little tricky. We actually have our registration form have a place where our employers can do if they will take resumes and JDMAs. One thing, and we can certainly talk about this online, but one thing we suggest is that you might want to target employers specifically in employment situations. Because they may see that you're graduating in 2007, so they may consider you a 3L instead of a 2L, you see? And so they usually go by graduation date. So sometimes it's more of an education process to let them know, you know, I am graduating, but I have flexibility. I'm not taking the bar this summer after I graduate. I can work that summer, and I don't intend to start a full-time position until the next year. In other words, putting you in cycles with the other students. So we can definitely talk about jobs for that. And we do ask them to know if they'll take a look and join the degree program.
Most of these firms that come and interview on campus, are they looking to hire one or two students, or is it unusual if they hire, say, like five?
From one school? We've seen everything from one to four or five, depending on the size of their program. Some have summer programs that are five or six in one particular office, and others have programs in all of their offices, and they could be 10 or 15 per office. So depending on the size, the overall size of the program. In other words, there's no sort of quota. So when they come here, they're not just coming here to say, ooh, we'll just take one in these students. I think it depends on the connections the students make to that particular employer, their offices, and how large the overall the program is. So the next page on after the graphs is just sort of the whole piece of professionalism. I mean, you all are now in a graduate school program. You will be interacting with employers that definitely expect a pretty high standard of professionalism. And so we have a professionalism and no-show policy that we ask all of you to adhere to during this process. For the courtesy of your fellow students and for also just the reputation of our law school, we have this in place because what we've seen in the past is students may just decide, you know what, I've had enough of our prison, I've been in for 2 weeks, I'm tired, I don't want to show up for my interview, I'm just not going to go. And when things like that happen, it reflects poorly on our school, and it also takes away opportunities for your fellow classmates to have an opportunity to keep moving forward. So basically, the bottom line for this policy is, if you are unable to keep an interview that you scheduled, we fully expect that you will alert OCF, and in particular, Richard Byrne, our recruitment coordinator, who won't be reviewing in a minute, as soon as possible. We have outlined four different scenarios that we think are what we consider excusable situations, which is, you know, you've accepted a job offer since you first submitted your information to that employer. The employer has selected alternates so that if you do decide not to get your interview, you can put another student into that position. And not every employer will select alternates, so that sometimes can make a difference. If you have a conflict of interest with an interviewer at the firm, I don't know if it turns out to be your uncle or something, you know, obviously you could look at that situation. And then obviously if there's an illness, you get sick, something happens in terms of a personal so we do ask for you to please, in all interactions, not only with employers, but with our office, to please make sure if you can't get counseling appointments again, you have to please don't show up. And again, it's taking away opportunities for those students. So we have this professionalism policy. You'll see maybe on the team later this summer, there'll be a box there for you to check that you can understand it. And then we'll move forward from there. Any questions? Yes?
When a person is a coach, do they have to have a certain
Right. Most of them will have what we call full schedules. So if they're 20-minute interviews, then typically 21 or 22 students per schedule. And then some employers may actually have two schedules that day. So for example, the first day we have on campus, we have one firm already that has two schedules. So they'll end up doing about four more. Now some employers prefer to have 30-minute schedules. So that increases the number of students that they see. I think they're going to do 16 or 17 students on 30, 13 or 14 students on 30-minute schedule. splitting your time between our school and the other institution. So they already know that they're only going to be 55 students. So it really depends on the quarter, but I think we're just going to go through a little bit of the time for us. All right, so the next page, page 3, is just an overview of our program schedule for this year. As I mentioned, our on-campus interviews will start on August 14th, which is the Monday before classes start. And what we try to do that week is really get as many exposures as possible to do to the space and campus of our school. We're able to use classrooms and other rooms that we normally couldn't use in classroom sessions. Resume collection deadlines. What we try to do there is have 4 or 5 major deadlines for resume collections and keep employers within those deadlines so that you're not constantly bringing information to us every day there's a deadline. So you'll see more information about those deadlines a little bit later this summer. And again, just to reemphasize that there will be 2 ways that employers participate in resume collection. Either that you would bring your hard copy material stuff and you would send them out, or you'll see online that you'll submit your information and then you see what we call bundling online and then email them out to them too. So just be careful to make a note on the posting and see it very clearly. Either bring your information to ATS by noon or apply to this employer by 11:59 on Tuesday. Direct application, we post those as we get them in. Again, it's up to your responsibility to get the information in by the deadline that's specified in the posting. The Atlanta interview program, just a note for anybody interested in that program in particular, that date is Wednesday, August 9th, which is pretty early. It also means that we will have to close submissions for that program probably in early July. We'll have more information with coordinating with the Tulane Law School, and we'll give you more information about exactly when you'll have to apply, but just to keep in mind that you'll definitely have to submit information rather than waiting out for the program. Our New York interview program is held at Times Square. That will be on Monday, August 28th, and we need that program just with our school. So those employers are just interviewing WCL students. The Boston interview program we do in conjunction with Catholic University Law School. That's on Friday, September 1st. And what we try to do is we look to the regional programs and have them on either side of a weekend because we're assuming that students are interested in those geographic areas due to their connections or if they have friends or family up there, so we try to do them on the weekend. And the West Coast interview program will be held on Friday, September 15th. People will be later, but West Coast employers they don't start as early as the East Coast employers. They start as early as the East Coast employers. But that will be September 15th. And what we do with that program is actually have a reception the night before to connect you and the students from other schools with alumni from our law school. That gives you another chance to network since you're going so far out there. And some of those employers may not be participating in the program, so we can have another opportunity to make some connections. Just a couple of points about the regional program. Please note that they are the responsibility of the students in terms of the expenses. You cannot subsidize any travel or lodging expenses for these programs. So before you click onto an employer and commit to going to a particular geographic area, just note that there are going to be obviously travel expenses involved in that. The other thing is that we really do expect students to attend these programs even if they only get one interview, and that does sometimes happen. Now, if that is the case, we do suggest that you take the advantage of being in that geographic area to set up other interviews with other employers, or meeting with alums, or doing some other activities that would help, you know, justifying going to Boston for one interview. But again, just keep in mind that you can apply to all the employers who participate in the program, they're only getting one interview for that program. So for us, it's not compelling for you to come back and say, well, I got one interview, I'm not going to do that. So it's something we need to discuss and talk about. And then also, either myself or Bridget, when we meet at each of these programs, we'll go through our contact information so you know where we are, if something comes up, in terms of what we're doing while we're talking about the program. Any questions about the regional program? On page 5, again, this is the summary, sort of the schedule for our program when each campus will open. And when we say each campus open, that basically means that you'll be able to physically see the employer to be able to start submitting your information to employers on July 5th. Yes.
Can you keep a list of employers you've been last year to give us an idea of who to expect?
We do, but what's even better, I think, is that we give you in June a list of employers that have registered so far, so you can start rather than just go through June, what happens then is employers change. So for example, we already have three or four new employers on campus this year that did not come last year. We have others that are doing something different than they did last year. So in June, what we do is just basically send out a listing of here the employers that are registered so far. That'll give you a chance to start preparing to review the information. And then once you get them open on the 5th, you can actually start. And we also noticed some job fairs that our students typically participate in as well. And please don't be excited if you think that's the first public service career fair. Again, you know, we call them fall recruitment, but this is a large fair that happens every year in DC. And employers from all over the country come, our students register, and we have a lot of participation here. It happens in October. So you think, well, it's only the large firms are sitting out. There's a lot of public organizations that end up sitting out. And again, as I mentioned before, please don't view bar recruitment as your only option. Please view it in light of other options that you have available. And again, we have some timelines that are set out in the preparing period, but we really don't sort of Okay. We're just going to come up and sort of talk about the mechanics of the campus recruiter because that's what we use to administer this entire program. So a couple of things about each campus. One is, we really ask that you use your AU email account as your primary email address on campus. When you send information out to all students on campus, it only pulls from your primary email account. So you can't be responsible if your Yahoo account is American.edu or State. So we really do encourage you to use your multi-email account for that. Also, once you're finished with the semester, you'll have to remember to update your profile, meaning that you'll then be considered QA. So you'll have to change your profile because a lot of the applications will say this is your only interview in 2L. If your profile says 1L, you won't be able to see the information. And we'll send you a reminder about that, which is something you can keep in the back of your mind. Please make sure all of your contact information is updated, cell phone information, home information, because sometimes you do have to call your bus and things like that. Sometimes they do it registered on the system or after your name. And we also have just some information here just about researching employers before you apply to them. Again, if you're in a different size, you need to do that. There have been times when people click on every button they can and end up getting a lot of interviews and halfway through the process want to, you know, back out of all the interviews that they've been selected for. So we really encourage you to do some research on that. So resources listed here, there's some listed on the website. If you see the career day, we have a fees manual. There are resources listed there as well.
For on-campus visitors, are you thinking of your business, or do individual employers have requests like resume, cover letter, transcript?
Right, no, it's a good question, and we're going to see in a second, but typically on-campus interviewers, as well as those interested in regional programs, usually just want your resume. And it actually raises a good point, because if you're only going off of your resume, things like grades are pretty important to highlight. And the reason that we do that is most employers tell us if they don't need grades, they're just assuming they want. They're assuming that the grades are, you know, a 2-3 instead of a 2-2. So we really encourage you to critically look at your resume. Have one of our counselors take a look at your resume because that is, in those instances, what they're using to determine whether or not they're going
to be. On that note about the resume, we're going to be doing this next year, and we'll have our new other programs. How do we get that on our resume that, you know, we're not in it now, but we haven't done anything yet, but we will be in the fall.
Well, as long as you are definitely going to be doing it, you can get it on your resume. For example, with law review, you can just say, you know, member of American University, I'm a college law alum. And I'm assuming that once you become a member, you're likely to not, or write it on, you can get it on your resume. If it's an employer and you've already secured an academic year position for next year, you can make a note of the employer where you're located. If you have a sense from the job posting, the type of things you'll be doing, anticipated responsibilities too.
Okay.
So then you can make a note of that.
Okay.
Definitely important to have that too. Okay. We're going to run through the mechanics of these campus. There's just first and foremost, our recruiting.
Step one has been our fall recruitment process on campus, which is a So what happens here, if you look up to the 7th, when you want to expand the third row page, it kind of lifts the icon from the top, which you can see that picture on the right of the 7th, as well as on the column on the left-hand side, it says job search. The middle of your home page will show the things that you put on there for you, so please do look at that, not for you to put on there for you. You might have information about employers, you might have deadline dates coming up, you might have, you know, some important thing that we're doing for you to look at the home page. Okay. The column up on the top, when you want to upload your resume, all you have to do is click on that resume button that you have document. And we'll literally walk you through it. And we'll be a inbox manager to upload your resume. Click on that and literally upload your resume. The process for transcripts and writing samples and cover letters is the same. Again, if you send those of them, they're not left to you. You want to make sure that you might want to upload your resume. Once you upload your resume, you have not applied for any jobs. Even if you click on there to refer you to search you, you have applied for no unsolicited positions, no resume collection positions, nothing. Every single one of those, you have to individually click to get a resume. So you share that in mind with you that you just paid for them before you have not applied for jobs. Okay. Uploading your cover letter and transcript to get into the process. Transcript. You might want to go to the legislative office to get to hear that from the individual who's going to call. They need at least 48 hours to give you official transcript, 24 hours for unofficial transcript. You can literally go to the library, scan the name, and then upload it that way. The next couple of pages are walking through again the same stuff, same page for uploading the resume documents. So you might want to click on the page right at the end of all the time. July 5th, the system will open, meaning you can see the document changes in the resume collection and direct application jobs in the terms so far. So it might be in two different ways. The on-campus interview position, you will see when you click on the interview button on the top. It's right next to the resume button. You'll see on top of the screen on the interview. Resume collection and direct application you'll see on the left-hand column under job search and go around and you can search for it that way. Okay, on-campus interview. You click on that interview icon, it'll bring up a list of the different firms that have registered classes. You can very clearly say, on-campus interviewer, they actually OCI, Bowie, and then the name of the firm. OCI, and then the name of the firm. Bowie is just August 14th. So you can go get on that. So we can go to the CCC, we can use that chat, et cetera. Okay. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I could go back a couple steps.
Oh, okay.
Regarding cover letters,
yeah.
Will all cover letters be available to all employers?
That is a good question. Yeah.
What happens is just like the resume, you can have a couple of different versions of your resume, just like you can have a couple of different cover letters, but you select that particular document. Exactly. So what we would suggest a lot of students would just use Canvas as a place to have all of their application documents so that you can pick and choose which ones you send to your various employers.
One of the things that we can do with resumes, because we're uploading resumes in front of all the slides, you can really see your uploading some of the new documents in there. You want to make sure that you have your professional name and the title of your documents, because the employer can see that. So if you email, law firm resume, you can send the same resume to the law firm. They'll see that, or if you email send them, you want to make sure it's very professional, make your name in there with your resume title, something you'll recognize in the list that they have. Yeah.
And also the transcript that seems to be written that we should use our unofficial transcript. Is that?
Yes, most employers, usually it's just in the judicial clerkship application process, they'll ask for the actual field transcript. But most employers know that you're just giving them an unofficial transcript. So, as Bridget mentioned, you can scan in what you get from the registrar's office. Or I know that myamerica.edu, that isn't really the prettiest of a transcript, but it is definitely, as long as it's accurate, you can certainly use that and kind of take that into the document as well.
Okay,
well,
mostly,
on July 5th, you can start applying for interviews. The window closes, then should you apply earlier rather than later?
Earlier rather than later does not matter for on-campus interviews. All of the transcripts will be sent in more than there is a deadline date for every lease amendment. So, for example, this morning on July 5th, the earliest, which is when the bulk of the employers will be here, your window will close on July 24th. So, you have that for a brief window and then make sure that before the window, before July 5th, you've already kind of used it from the employers. You've already started to think about what you're going to do in one way. Hopefully, you've already uploaded some revenue on the system so that that happens in the future power. And then when the system opens, you can really start thinking about that early in the future power.
Would you be reporting our class ranking, or do you need to get that to
It's a very good question. We do send in a ranking form, so the employer has that. Now, me as an NCS counselor, there are strategies to come to rank. So, for example, what you'll see with a lot of employers is, what you'll see with a lot of employers is, you know, we're looking for the top 15%. You may be in the top 20%. So the strategy is for that particular employer, you definitely want to have your GPA on, if you necessarily want to have your ranking on. Maybe not. Maybe they look at the ranking of the GPA and that's enough for them. Or maybe they go to the form and they decide that maybe that person is qualified for them. Same way if you do qualify for them. If you're in the top 10% and they're asking for the top 15, absolutely put your GPA on and top 10%. That's very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes. Okay, you bring up the subject of grid and processing system. What is the utility of this? I mean, is that sort of ranking have to do to get anything out of it?
No. look, every year we have students that fall about in outside of range and they get their positions in these employers. So what we say, and employers, again, this is what they want to see, but at the end of the day, they're going to be very specific things about your experience and your background that will be much more important or have much more leverage than the exact GPA they want. So all we ask you to do is to use your discretion. If you're looking for top 5% only and you're in the top 30%, I don't know. Maybe that's not an employer that would make a lot of sense to apply to, okay? But if they have a specific practice, if you've done work in that practice and you just think you'll be the most viable candidate for them, then yes, perhaps you do apply to that particular employer. So I think you have to sort of use some judgment. Now, a lot of them will say top 15, top 20% per firm. In that case, if you fall outside of it, then certainly, if you have an interest in the firm, please go ahead and apply. You know, there are only, you know, 95% of people don't fall in the top 5%, right? So if you're coming on campus to interview 20 students, they may not get the top 5% because you may not have the numbers depending on how many students we have at our law school to actually comply with that. So it's all really in your discretion, your background, what your interests are, and what other information you're wanting to receive from us. But there are parameters that you will be there and what you're doing to us and how we apply that.
Any questions for
our
OCC? Do you have people that are going to talk to
So use those as a guide, but again, use your discretion. If you think you'll be attractive to the person, then go ahead and apply.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? So, non-competitive interviews. In the 15 minutes, we'll go on to your home board, you can't get it. We'll go to that top list of icons. You'll click on interviews. It will click on the list of the on-campus interviews. You can clearly know it. You will click on the firm and be able to apply right through there. Again, you have to click submit resume in order to apply the job. Okay. Resume question and direct application. On that same homepage, your left-hand column will say job search. This is how you search for resume question and direct application. You can do this in a number of ways. You can click summer full time and click on all summer and click on summer full time voucher offer. You can click on geographic position where you see the working system on and click it that way to see that you see a blog and where would you like to get there. Resume question and direct app will also be noted very clearly in the subject heading. Resume question, follow through here to note in job title. Direct application means that you apply directly to the employer gets back directly to you. And so all the correspondence you have between you and the employer, you cannot get it from that class at all. You have to take it from the employer. Resume collection means one of two things. Sometimes the employer is going to look at all of your applications in the 202F, and that case will have mark boxes that say, you know, maybe you're totally marking them to resume collection. They'll say, oh, you're Those are all due by noon on whatever your deadline date is. Now, all those jobs will be physically written to career services, stick them in our box, and then we will mail them all to the employer. The other option is some employers this year indicated that they want to receive resume selection applications for those via email or internet. In that case, you'll actually apply online in those job posts, you know, that they'll apply here. And then we'll bundle the resume electronically available to the employer on the office. That gets back to your question again. So resume collection for on campus, if you're applying within that window, you're fine. Is everybody? Do you all have a question?
Yes. With the resume collection, you go, when we submit all of our applications, do you go through and call the
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We send every single thing that you all send. We do not. All this is left up to the employers to select. They're basically just saying, well, instead of 50 of your students sending it to us piecemeal, we'd like to have the big group of AU students who can evaluate them on one. So we absolutely send everything. And you know, what we used to do, although it is so difficult for us to do this now, the class is so large, but we actually would look at all the resumes that got posted and flag them and call students and say, you know what, you really should think about revising your resume. We still do spot checks to make sure that you all aren't doing something that's so dramatic that it could really sort of be a bad impression, you know, for you to go ahead and send it. But that's one of the reasons why we really would love for you all to just make sure that at least one career counselor got a chance to look at your resumes. You just can't necessarily decide if the resume issue enough. But we send every single thing that we do say we send to us.
A little topic, but in terms of trying to get an appointment underneath a year, like, are you guys just open full time throughout the summer to come in?
Unfortunately, we work off.
Okay.
We are open, and we're happy to know that a lot of you may not be here this summer. So phone conversations work. You can email back and forth with you if you think you make a connection with us. People will be leaving. That might be helpful. But yes, we definitely are off summer.
Okay, one quick thing about finding out if you can select an interview for our interview. On-campus interviews, what happens is the employer lets us know if they would like to interview. And that's based on the hiring criteria and the sizes of people. We will notify you via email. Also, when you go on to your homepage, there will be something there that says, you have been selected. And you click on your employer's name from there, and you can sign up for a limited time slot on the day of the employer will be here. You will only have 48 hours to do this email with the question to sign up for the interview. Once that 48 hours has passed, you decide to change your interview time, anything, to contact me. Okay.
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 One question.
Yes.
The resume drop-off?
Yes.
When's the first one?
The first resume drop-off?
We have it. We're still getting registrations from the employer, so what happens is we group them together based on the employer's deadline. So we try to make sure the first one's not until you all get back to school. Now, we have had some employers that are looking for them earlier, so we'll probably ask them to just have them submitted online so that you all can do the online process for the employers. But the ones we physically have to bring them to our office, we usually wait for the first one to pass to have that deadline. Because, again, this is the time to turn down probably the process. I don't know if all of you are aware, but that construction that's going on in the first floor is actually on the office space. So we will be moving to the first floor, hopefully in May. So we'll be much more accessible, I think, so things are run in. We'll actually have a new student area. We won't be searched, and so hopefully it'll be a lot easier to draw in terms of career development. But that will be a couple of things just to mention. I know you were asking a question about resumes and whether or not we look through them. We definitely do, and I just want you to all know that the resumes are all pre-selected by the employer, so that the employer makes the decision about who to bring in. It's all exclusive. I mean, some schools have lotteries and all of the kinds of things, but all of our employers pre-select the students that they want to see. Another thing to be mindful of, when you look at the postings on these campuses, either for on-campus or for resume selection direct application, some employers will have 10 offices, and they say that they're coming to interview for all of their offices, which means that you sort of have to have a sense for, okay, I'm really interested in the DC office, and I'm interested there because it'll be commercial litigation and, you know, IT work. What we've heard from employers is that they'll go into an interview and they'll say, yeah, I'm interested in the DC office because I know that's where your entertainment practice is. I can't, our entertainment practice is in Los Angeles. So
system, and the reason being is firms be aware that a lot of their offices have particular practice areas. So not only do you need to know about the firm, but you need to know about what are they doing in each office. Now, other firms will say, I'm only interviewing for the DC office. So for example, White & Case, they come on campus to the DC office, but then they also participate in our New York interview program for their New York office. So because some of these firms are differently, please just keep in mind that you have to know why they're coming on campus or why they're participating in the DC program, which office is it for, and that could help you then even know your community
that.
Yeah, and that's why we actually try to give that to you in June, at the beginning of June. Now, obviously, employers will continue to register their leads at the beginning of June, probably weekly thereafter. Weekly thereafter, we'll give you updates about new employees that are registered exactly for that program. The other thing along those lines, which is a very good point, is please do not limit yourself to the employer participating in our program, okay? If someone that you're interested in is not coming on campus, they're not going to a regional program, they're not doing direct application or resident selection, you can still apply to those employers. There is no prohibition for you to apply to those employers. And that's why the research becomes critical. So what we would say is, if you can already tell in the beginning of June or into June and beginning of July that the employer is not participating and you are really interested, we suggest that you get your information to them somewhere in the mid-July to late-July timeframe. The reason for that is this. As we already told you, we have employers coming August 14th. Our first week closes for you all July 24th, which means our employers are already going to be seeing resumes for the end of July. You want to make sure for employers that don't participate in our program that you're still in the mix for them in terms of just having a resume earlier around the end. So in other words, don't wait to apply until September to employers that aren't participating in our program. You should really be doing that in late July or maybe early August. The other side of that is don't do it in June. Recruitment coordinators get really upset when they start seeing fall recruitment resumes in June too early and they're dealing with the summers and the term program. So that's why they don't have window late July, early August, and still be in the mix and still making their decisions about who they want to on campus and be whatever it is to get them back. So we will definitely give you, beginning of June, here's who's registered so far. That will give you the opportunity to do research on them. And every week thereafter, typically we'll be updating them as well. So, okay. And once we see those, we'll stop our updates and you can just go on. Case 14, just to bring this to your attention, we don't really have to worry about it now. National Association for Law Placement, they have guidelines in place regarding job offers and how many you can hold open during certain times during the recruitment process. So on page 15, there's a little chart. Because the process starts early, after September 15th, some students may already have 7 or 8 offers. It's possible. So what they're asking you to do is for students to release offers that are in excess of what you see on this chart. And again, that goes back to allowing the firm to then extend additional offers to students, and also it helps you to sort of continue to narrow that opportunity so that on December 1st you have a pretty good idea about the employee and what you need. So we'll remind you of this, and we just want to just present to draw a guideline that now says here's to our after that, page 17, there are people that have questions about bar recruitment. I'm definitely happy to take more questions here, but there are questions that people can get to be outlined as you can lay out questions. And then I just want to give you a couple of pointers about how to prepare for the bar recruitment interview program. As I mentioned, we're open. So if you stay in touch with us, we're happy to help you. Not overexcited again, but you need to have a final resume in place. I think last year grades came in for important by the end of June, so that means by the time you actually have to make sure that you start applying to employers on the system, the grades should be in, which have a pretty good feel for where you are in terms of your data. Transcripts, we talked about that. Writing samples, you might want to get a writing sample reviewed by your school rhetoric instructor if you're using one from rhetoric, or if you're using one from, maybe you probably have to work to get here. But if you're using something from rhetoric, you definitely want to get that reviewed by rhetoric. We also offer a bunch of interviews in our office, so you can feel free to take advantage of those if you have any interviews or interviews. We also have a mock interview program that we coordinate with local WCL alumni and other practitioners. That will be held during the week of August 7th, which is the week before the early week interviews start. That is the first customer service program. We typically have anywhere from 80 to 90 slots available with our alums. You would actually physically go to their office, really treat it like a real interview, and you give a lot of good feedback. So you could go to take advantage of that program. Email, please send your email. We try to set them on to say something like water treatment or OCF. So we're changing our names. I don't know if you're going to use OCF. We never change our name to Office of Career and Professional Development. And that goes back to what you talked about earlier in terms of the ability to hopefully choose professionalism in terms of process and other processes as well. But anyway, I don't know what our acronym will be, our Office of Career or whatever. We try to put in a subject line, you know, from us so that we'll hopefully flag that. Please make sure your cell phone, your voicemail on the phone, your outgoing message, your email account, all that professional. There's nothing worse than having a Twitter call and, hey, it's you, that was the party today. Please just make sure, again, keep your voice professional for a lot of these employees. You just want to make sure that your team voice professional for this appropriate interview attire. We actually, I think, still have our little chart up in the window. If you all have any questions about just what's appropriate to work for interviews, I know women sometimes are concerned about pants versus skirts. Is a tan suit okay? No, rather you can be in a dark suit. Those are the types of questions we try to use some sort throughout the summer about that. But, you know, just keep in mind that that's something you have to get a pass ready to go. And again, we are more than happy to help you with your job search strategy. We have six counselors, although we this summer, but we definitely have a path for you. And that's the public interest coordinator that all of us can bring in by the end of the opportunity as well. So, what people can do is bring them up before you leave, or during the summer, or by the end. Yeah. It's more professional to wear a dark suit, for, especially for men. I mean, typically, the navy, the black, the dark gray is definitely more professional. It is still suit, you're right, but unfortunately, especially with some of the law firms, a lot of them are still, you know, some may have moved to more business casual, whatever that means, and so many variations of that, but others still expect their attorneys to come and teach them again. So again, you want to get first purpose, you know, to be first in compliance with that. So we typically recommend, if you have a question or if there's doubt, a dark suit is usually better than a standard. Obviously, we'll be giving you information throughout the summer, but we wanted to at least have the opportunity to present with NASA's in the back of your mind, because email is really how we'll be doing this summer. Okay, for your friends who couldn't make it, we'll upload this information early next week in the document library, so they'll have access.
I don't know.